For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy on ABC Radio Australia.
Whakalofa, lahi atu to our Niuean listeners during Niuean Language Week, and welcome everyone to Neesian Footy Fridays, the home of Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and my Cook Island Coley is having a holiday in PNG. Now he's doing some work over there, as always. And I thought we'd get one of the big guns in, considering it is a Tonga Samoa type of field this week. I thought I'd get in my Samoan friend, Chantel Stowers, making her debut here on Neesian Footy. Chantel, it is great to have you on.
Hey, thanks for having me. It is another debut. I feel very nervous right now.
Don't be. You're a seasoned campaigner. You've done plenty of media work, and you're amazing at it, so that's why you're here. But firstly, before we get into the big weekend of footy, your experience with Fetu Samoa, how was that watching them last week? You know, being a former player, you were there last year. At the PAC Champs, what was it like watching them play?
Yeah, so last week I actually had the opportunity to commentate, so it was like double nerves. I think having the first opportunity to come up against the Kiwis just made it something else. I myself have, I'm from New Zealand. I'm not Māori, I am Samoan. However, my roots are still with New Zealand, so I had a lot of heart and nerves for that game. And I truly thought that Fetu would have a really good game against the Kiwis, and the opportunity to actually be able to play them in a tier one game, that was something else as well. But my experience playing for Fetu has been incredible. I had my first opportunity all the way back in 2019 in a nines tournament, and it's been so close to my heart ever since. Being in the campaign last year is something else. You obviously are completely embedded in your culture. That's why I love the PAC Champs. You see all of these players who are in the NRLW throughout the season, and then they just get to kind of reignite, refresh and reconnect and go into PAC Champs, and it just brings their energy back to them, and the performances are just insane. So a lot of heart. I always feel so connected to this part of the year and always so excited.
Oh, beautifully, beautifully said. And when you think about the growth from when you've started to then seeing them up 20-0 at halftime last week, like, how happy does that make you when you know that where it started and where it's actually going?
Yeah, that it's insane. Obviously, there are a lot of NRLW players that have put their hand up and chosen to play for Samoa, which is incredible. That's what we've always needed. Being a tier two team is, it's kind of like a second option, or has been for some, but now it's the first option. It's very enticing. And now that they've been on the platform and can show that they can put up that fight, the first half was completely Samoa's. That was insane. I was sitting on the edge of my chair the entire time.
Neutral in commentary, of course.
Trying to stay neutral as possible. It was very exciting. I had Corbin Baxter next to me, who is of Māori descent, yeah, and played for the Gillaroos. And she's like, I feel for you, Sean. This is so heightened right now.
how good. Well, there is a big game coming up this week between Fetu and the Gillaroos, and we will get into that game. But one last thing. We had you on Fresh Off the Field, and you were making your way in flag footy. Like, how is that going? And I did mention before, I think it was on that Pacific Sports show, I made comment about your knees, and you came straight back and goes, these are still young. They're still good to go. I was like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, they're young. They're fresh as, I'm surprised. They're so fresh. I've got no issues at all. So I'm just going to keep going until my body starts to fail me. And I've transitioned into flag, and it is a lot easier on the body in the way of contact. You're not running into people. So it's not like gridiron where you go into contact and you wear all the heavy gear. It is flag football. So it's gridiron. It's American influenced. You still got your QB. I'm a receiver, so I get to catch balls and just run around with no contact. You obviously have to have some speed still. So it's good incentive for me not to get slow and lazy and retired. But I'm really enjoying it. Again, it's just so refreshing to be able to learn an entirely new sport and then make your way through the ranks and, experience what it's all about. So it's been great for me.
Well, to the wheels fall off, and we hopefully see you at the Olympic Games, because that is the big goal. But let's get to what's coming up on the show today. We have the Pacific Champs. It continues this weekend. Four big games to preview. The Ashes game in England, the Kangaroos versus England in that one. And we have a different chat today as well. Normally we have Nemani Kurundrani, but this week I thought we'll change it up a little bit and have a player manager on with Milan Volavola, Fijian heritage. He's got players like Mark Nwanganitawase, Siwa Wong, and he's got a lot of players over in Japan. So he'll give us a bit of information on the eligibility and foreigner rules in Japan that has currently changed, which does impact our talent on the islands. We'll have knockout tipping, which I'm in the lead for whatever reason. I've just had a couple of good weeks, and Shawnee, if you don't get these right for tea, I'm guaranteeing your friendship is gone with him.
So, who knows? I might be secretly backing you behind the scenes. Sorry,
oh, please.
Who knows?
We can set a plot here. I love that.
I had a surprise coffee turn up this morning, and I didn't even make an order.
Oh, really? No. There we go. All the way from PNG, but plenty to get through. So let's get into it.
My name's Christian Pior, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
All right, let's start with rugby league. This weekend, the PAC Championships, honestly, next level. If we're going off the socials alone and hasn't even kicked off yet on the field, we're in for a big one. We don't have Salah on because she's in Jularoo's camp. Obviously, she's more important things to prep for than coming on Nation Footy Friday. So, Shawnee, we're going to start with you with going through some of the games here. Where do you want to start?
Well, we'll start with the Cook Islands, Moana v Tonga 13. That's the game is at 1 p.m. in PNG. The Cook Islands team. So they've got a couple of debuts. Kira Rangi, she's starting for debut. And then there's Porsche John, Jodeci Joseph, who are also debuting from the bench. From the Tongan team, we've got Finau, who debuted for the Knights in September and will now have her debut for Tonga. One player that I'm so interested to see turn up on the weekend will be Moana Courtenay. She just made an absolute difference throughout the Doggies campaign, their very first campaign in the NRLW. So I'm excited to see what she will bring. And Sima Lokatui, she also debuted in NRLW and she will be for Tonga as well.
Yeah, big game there. And you're not wrong about Moana. We had her on Nation Footy, I think it was last year, when she was representing Panina Pacifica, and just watching her play for Tonga in rugby union, absolute beast. And you're right, she killed it in the NRLW. So I'm really looking forward to her debut. And Cook Islands had a good win last week, really good win. I thought they, Shantae, really controlled the game there. That spine has been crucial with Kiana at the back. How do you see this one sort of playing out?
Yeah, you already mentioned Shantae Kiriaratu. She has really stepped up her game in the NRLW through her Sharks campaign. It's just brought something else to her game. So her and her sister, Anne-Marie, they have really shown what they're made of playing for the Cook Islands and up the level of quality of the game for that team as well. A lot of NRLW players in the Cook Islands team, which they've never really had before. So they're looking really, really good and a strong win. So they're going to come off with some confidence. What do they need to do to get themselves ahead for this game? I think they need to control the game a little bit better and keep their stamina throughout the entire game. That's something that I think the Cook Islands have kind of dropped off in the second half or at moments in the game in the past. I think that's going to be one thing that they need to do.
Do you put that down to the conditions playing in PNG, or is it just more of an understanding of how to stay in the fight, you know, that professionalism, and you just can't switch off when you're playing at that level?
Yeah, I think it's about the experience, being able to maintain the quality and intensity of your game throughout the entire game is about experience and professionalism. It doesn't come easily. Yes, the environment, the heat over there is going to affect you, absolutely, but the other team is also coming up against that as well. Tonga, they are brutal. They are huge on contact and they never take a step backwards. So they are going to be physical the entire time. When they played Samoa last year, the score of the game, when when Samoa won did not reflect the actual battle. Like, I was worried that Tonga would come out at any point in the game. So they're going to be up for a big physical game, especially through the middles. Tonga have a little bit more edge in their middle pack. NRLW players have a little bit more experience, and I think that they have found confidence since last year in their NRLW campaigns. So that's what they're going to be coming up against.
Some of those physical players that you're talking about, Natasha Penatani, she'll lead the side out. We've also got Pani Hopoate. Out of the Tonga team, who probably is the most dangerous there that's going to make a big impact?
Yeah, those two players are going to be instrumental to this game and how it plays out. But there is one player that I'm so excited to see in the team is Martha Matile.
Yes.
Oh, she is insane and unstoppable. I reckon she could play in the
and
middle.
And another rugby union player.
Just yeah.
Everyone starts in rugby, but what a beast.
And then they move over to the good side.
Exactly. No. I'll say that now. I'll confirm that now because you do it better. But yeah. She is a beast. And she's had a really, really amazing couple of weeks too of off-field, experiences and heartwarming experiences. She was in Tonga with Youth in Union, giving back to the motherland over there, was running some clinics, seeing that she was leading off the field as well in PNG at the school clinics. She just seems like she's got a smile that is so infectious and it just rubs out on the field, but that smile then turns into beast mode. So. Oh,
and it's scary because already, without going through those really heartfelt and energy-giving experiences, she was a beast and she was a scary player. And now she's got that extra thing that she's going to be going to have inside her to play for. So it's going to be next level what we see from her.
Yeah, I've probably been a bit biased here, giving more time to Tonga, but how do you see this one playing out?
I think it's Tonga.
Tonga? Mm. Okay. We're friends still. We're friends.
Yeah.
Beautiful work, Shawnee. What's the other game happening on Saturday in Port Moresby?
We've got the PNG Kumuz versus Cook Islands I2, and that is at 3 p.m. PNG time. Alex Johnson is back after missing last year's PAC champs, so that's exciting. Nene McDonald, 20th game for PNG. He also had a double last year, so expecting exciting things from him. Lachlan Lamb is skipper, and he will be linking up with Gaidor Voro starting at 5'8 alongside Lachlan Lamb. That's going to be another exciting pairing. Cooper Bai is debuting off the bench.
How good. Very excited to see this PNG team come out. Lachie Lamb, we interviewed him at last year's PAC Champs, and he was talking about after a long season, because it is at the back end of the year, it is tough. The body is just holding on by a fair bit of strapping tape come this time. But when he said that any opportunity he gets to put on that PNG jersey, it's like all that soreness just goes away and he's ready to go. So really looking forward to see him lead the side out. And Guy Ovoro, again, we've seen him play with the PNG Hunters. He was in the PM's 13. He's going to partner with him. So it's all the young bull, the old bull, having a crack together. And Alex Johnson, how many tries is he scoring this week?
I don't know. I'd go for a double. Let's give him a double.
give him a double.
Let's back him.
Back him in. So he's a crowd favourite there. Man, it's just going to go off when he goes down that sideline to probably go in for that double. But the Cook Islands team, obviously coming off a pretty tough loss against Fiji last week. They'll be licking their wounds.
Yep.
What's important for the Cook Islands team to be able to review, flush that, and then move on?
Yeah, going off the game last week, it was tough, but when we were coming into half time, they actually took the opportunity to kind of catch up a little bit, going from 18 to 24 in the scoreline. So they have the ability to come back in the games. So that's something that we're going to want to see from them coming into this PNG game. Previously, in 2023, I think that their score was 10 on the board. And then 2024, they were 20 on the board against PNG. So there has been some improvement from them. I think that they just need to have a better line speed and connection in their defense. That's something that I noticed would make a big difference. PNG knows how to throw the ball around. They're fast. They're agile. They're very much like Fiji in that sense, in the way that they play. And again, I mentioned it when we were speaking about the women's Cook Island team. It's that stamina right throughout the game, just being able to hold it. And both of the Cook Island teams do tend to have less experienced players. And I think that comes into play.
is this going to be a bit too hard for the Cook Islands this week, considering some of the players that are in that PNG side that are going to be, yeah, with that leg speed, yep, you know, being bodies like granite?
Well, PNG, they're a class act. We know it, they live and breathe this kind of game. So it is hard for the Cook Islands. I know that T also mentioned last week that it's kind of camp-based. So Cook Islands only get to come into camp, and that's the amount of time that they get for preparation. So they do just have to muscle it out. They don't get all of those reps, and reps are what makes the difference. We all know that if you're a professional athlete. So they are going to have to muscle it out. It is game two of their campaign, so they've got game one out of the way. I'm hoping that that will give them that experience and getting the nerves out of the way, or being able to kind of flush a few things, issues out of the system, and like recollect and regather and refresh themselves to battle it out for the entire game.
You're not wrong. What I do love about the Cooks as well, they always win off field. They always win off field. I've seen
they know how to have fun. They
exactly
know how to dance. I've
dancing
seen that too.
all the kids and all the school visits that they've been going out to, all the villages, the drums are out, the knees are shaking, and
they are the vibe.
Let's go to Sunday. The big games here. This one's kicking off straight away, the Jullaroos, Fetu Samoa. And for me, when I look at this lineup for both sides, there's a feeling there's the OGs in the Jullaroos, everyone that's been in the NRLW for a very long time. And then we've got the young'uns of the Fetu Samoa coming through, the 20-year-olds, you know, nipping at the heels. So, it is mouth-watering, and I can't wait to see these matchups, but how are you feeling about this one?
Yeah, that initial sense that you have, I say that I agree. If we look at the Jullaroos team, we've got Southwell on debut, which is really exciting. She's really developed herself throughout the last year, and that's one of the things that she's had on repeat, is that she has gained a lot more confidence and learnt a lot about herself. So I'm expecting a big game from her. Our Māori and Nisian faces, Clydesdale and Penitani Gray, that's always so exciting to see them. They are absolute beasts. And then we've got a debut from Rima Butler, who this one is very, very exciting. She's an absolute beast. She's got size. She's in the middle. But once upon a time, she was out on the edge running at centre. So,
oh, really?
Yes,
so she's moved in there?
Yes, she's moved in there. Throughout Harvey Norman previously, she has been running at centre. So,
okay.
Yeah, a very agile player. And you can see why she gets through so much work in the middle. When we're looking at Fetu, we've got Pauline Pilea-Rasambale, who is not playing. And then we've got Sienna Lofipo, who failed her HIA, which is two very big losses. But then we've got someone who I think can really step into the shoes. Jatea Faifua will move from fullback into that role, which she is a player who you have to have in your team or on your bench. She can play on the wing, she can play fullback, she can play hooker, and now she's in the halves. So,
yeah,
insane.
I know what you mean there. And when I look at those two players that are out, though, Pauline and Sienna Lufipo, they were instrumental last week, especially Sienna, just her physicality. I didn't realize she had
her
that about
rate.
Her. Her work rate. I didn't realize she had that about her. She was so good last week. How much of an impact, though, is that going to leave a hole in, I guess, that Fetu side? I know we got some handy replacements, but how they played last week, I would have loved to have seen them come up against the Jullaroos.
I think when it comes from me, I'm speaking from heart, and I know that they just have the heart, and whoever steps into that role and replacement will show up, especially off the back of the cultural festivities and the connection that they build throughout that time. And it's also been next level in Brisbane, where they've been based. The festivities, the culture piece has just blown up more than I can imagine.
Yeah.
And I know that there's been tears daily. They've been absolutely loving it. So knowing that they'll have those two girls on the sideline giving their complete support and heart and soul, the girls that are going to step into replacement, they can do it. There is now actually depth in the Samoa team, which is so exciting.
That is awesome to hear when you say we've got depth in all positions.
Yeah.
I love that.
Even 2 years ago, I remember that we may have had one center, but we were struggling to find another strong center. And at the moment, there are players on the bench who I would say should be starting lineup. So that is exciting.
When we look at some of these head-to-head clashes, I want to talk about some of the experienced ones versus the ones that are just you know, nipping at the heels. I look at Tavana Papali'i and then she's coming up against Kezi Apps. Like, there's those type of matchups. You've got Rivoli Alo up against Yazzie Clydesdale. It is really like that older generation, not by age, but just experienced players coming up. So there's a point to prove there from the other side to say, yeah, the changing of the guard is not happening just yet. Is that how you see it as well?
Yeah, you are not wrong at all. I was looking at those matchups as well and I was like, what is it that's going to be the 1% difference from that Samoan player that is going to give them the upper hand on that Australian player? And it is youth. And it is the fact that they have been exposed to professionalism now for a couple of years. So you've got that youth, you've got that speed, you've got that energy. And although they're going up against stalwarts, I think that is the 1% thing that they can have over them. They're going to be confident and they're going to be playing experienced, confident players, but they're going to have that little bit extra energy. But also the thing that surprises me about these girls is once upon a time you would have said, when the head drops and they've done something wrong, it's hard to come back from that in a game. But they're relentless. It's just professionalism is rolling around everywhere from the NRLW and it feeds into this space. And girls just don't drop their head anymore. They just get more angry, more aggressive and more focused. So that's the change. That's the change.
You're not wrong. That mental, I guess the All Blacks use that saying of staying in the blue. You know, when they're the redhead, bluehead, this time, you know, we have more of the girls staying in that bluehead and staying calm under pressure. And that's ultimately what wins footy games, decision-making under pressure. And on that, where is this game won and lost?
I'm going to kind of point something out. We've got Destiny in the back.
Brill?
Yes, no, Destiny Minosinopati, who's stepping into the fullback role. She did outstanding last week in the wing role and scored a full field runaway try. But when you look at a player that she's going to be coming up against, Tamika Upton, she's just a player like no other. So I think Tamika Upton, other than the stalwarts doing their role really well, is going to be the difference in this game. She is the difference in most games. So if you can shut her down, her magic, it's like she's a conductor. If something's not working on one side, she'll just go, oh, yes, sweet, I'm going to do something else. And I have got my team around me who trust me, who will follow my lead or my instructions. So you've got to shut down Tamika Upton.
Freaky Meeky, she doesn't have that nickname for no reason. But we're in for a cracking one. Righto, and then the 3 p.m. game, PNG time in Brisbane, the Tonga 13 versus Tua Samoa. And as I said, if you're going by the socials, all the social media clips, the week that Tonga had in the beautiful kingdom of Tonga, and they shut down the whole country and all the parades are happening, Brian Toto doing backflips, we are in for a massive one, Shawnee. And have you ever seen so much hype before a clash before, like in the modern day game of professionalism? Have you ever seen a build up like this?
No, not at all. The last experience I would have had of a country celebration taking over is when I went to Fiji for rugby union. But with rugby league, it's Tonga and Samoa 100%. It just is a sea of red and blue.
So give me the reasons why Tonga are going to win this one.
Oh, I just tried to sneak it in there. Okay. Well, let's just go back to the last game in 2022.
Oh, sorry.
Qualifications.
Okay.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
so Samoa won the last game, 20-18. And why will Samoa win this game also? No, if we do look at who's on the field, it's not even, but it is very competitive across the board. Tonga, they are always so strong through the middle, so physical, as is Samoa, but Tonga's just got that extra little bit of physicality, I think. Samoa,
even with Payne Haas in there.
Well, I was going to say, Samoa have recruited very, very well. Payne Haas, he is the game changer. He was the game changer last week. If he can uphold that level, I think that he will be the reason why Samoa
gets over.
Actually,
here's one for you. If you're a coach, right, you know it's coming from Payne Haas.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what type of defense is going to come at him. And you're probably thinking Tonga's going to go, we have to go after him. We have to, you know, really make a statement. Do you try and add something to Payne Haas's game here? Do you try and put some shape around him so he's got an offload or he ball plays a little bit early just to change the picture rather than always going into, what's expected?
Yeah, that's a hard one because it is all about game strategy. That's definitely what wins you the game. But we've said it before, this campaign is so short. You've kind of got to go back to the muscle up. Painhouse, he has no kind of detrimental things in his game where he can't muscle up. He's also very agile and he's got agile players around him. So I probably wouldn't be changing the way he plays his game. He knows it well. He plays it well, and at the moment, he's at the top of the game. So why would you change it?
Because I'm part Tonga job, trying to make sure that they do something different, because if he brings his A game, which he will, this game's going to bring the best out of him. It's going to be a tough day in the middle. But what else stands out for you in this one?
Yep, Tuivasa Sheck, he had an outstanding game last week. So I just think he's such a strong and agile player. And Lihi Hopuwari, who is going to be the number one for Tonga, he's also had a really great season himself. But I think that Tuivasa Sheck has it up on him a little bit, just in the way of experience.
Yeah,
he's so reliable and he has been for years end on end. So, I mean, yeah, he's the guy, I think. Brian To'o, he had a great game last week too. So I think he's going to have a huge one this week. If we do go to the forward pack, Papali'i.
Yep.
He's amazing. Painhouse, we've already spoken about him. Jazz Tivanga, he had a great game too. So I think how they're all linking up in the middle is going to be very strong and mobile. Again, it's just meeting the physicality of Tonga. They can muscle it out a whole lot more. But Samoa, I think, has a lot more flair in their ball game if we look at their halves and their back three.
I was going to say that in the NRL, everything's dictated around the spine. Their decision makers, under pressure, especially in that type of cauldron, like the noise is going to be deafening out there. I guess one part of the game that, you know, is vital is the kicking game. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're turning the big players around, that territory battle. Who's probably got the better options there with maybe Isaiah there and Iongi, but you also got, you know, the masterclass of Jerome for Samoa.
I think Jerome's got it on this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Hey, you're not mincing your words here. You're just straight to the point. I like it. And most importantly, who's winning the crowd battle?
Oh,
when it comes to the singing of hymns, when it comes to the waving of the flags, the flex of the muscles.
There is no winner. I can't say. It's so intense. This
the
is
uncles,
like the game
the
of the
dancing.
Year. They've been waiting since 2022. It's just, I reckon it's going to be half-half and it's going to be something to completely absorb.
Absolutely. I can't wait for this game. It's going to be electric and I'm hoping Tonga get the win because it's going to be a great Monday when we do come into work. Because if it doesn't, I'm taking a sickie.
I won't be there.
I won't be there. But let's move over to the other game. Over in England, we have the Ashes, the first game of the Ashes, kicking off. And this one will be 11 p.m. PNG time. And we will hear this on ABC Radio Australia from 11 p.m. PNG time. But we've got some of our players in there that could have been playing in this game on Sunday for Tonga or Samoa, but they're here for Australia.
So they're going to be playing for Australia. We've got Fijian Mark Nawanitawase. He is going to be debuting for the Kangaroos and he's our dual international. And then we have Tino Faasui Maliawi. He is going to be playing. Katoni Staggs will also be playing and it's going to be a great game to watch.
Absolutely.
I think Aussie's got it over.
And we also see Keon Kolomatangi as well making his debut for the Kangaroos as well. So good to see Pacific representation on the other side of the world. And remember, you can hear every game on the Pacific Champs and the Ashes on ABC Radio Australia. And in other news, this was huge. They unveiled it throughout the parades this week. Another Samoan edition.
Yes.
Getting ready for the World Cup.
Very exciting. Hamiso Tabuai Fadau is going to be returning from his knee injury. He's missed the Pacifica Champs, but he will be committing to Samoa for the 2026 Rugby League World Cup. He has played for Samoa before in the 2022, but it's so good to have him commit fully. Love it.
Absolutely. There's more and more stars still to come, I reckon.
We've also got Fiji Bulikula, who are all the way on the other side of the world in Canada. They played Canada last week and they will be playing Nigeria this week.
Who?
Nigeria.
Oh, they're a class outfit, Nigeria, when it comes to rugby league.
Yeah.
Have you seen them play?
No, I have
neither.
Not seen them play.
I'm just making it up.
But I think it's something like they're ranked 18th And then Fiji are ranked at the moment 17th. Something around there.
What about that for a matchup? We've got Fiji versus Nigeria in Canada. How did that happen?
Yeah,
who did the scheduling for that one?
Well, it happened because Samoa knocked the teams out from PAC champs last year. So, you know, they've got to go the long way around.
Long way around.
That is the long way around.
And some names to look out for?
Some names to look out for is Ebony and Sienna Lang and Tegan Hardigan, three sisters in the Fijian team, as well as Casey Staples. She's captaining. She's had a wild run to her captaincy, and she's really on form at the moment. So very, very happy for her. They are playing at 7:30 a.m. Fijian time this Sunday.
Perfect. And who do we look out for in the Nigerian team? Who are the big, big guns?
Again, I have not been able to view much footage.
I tried to find
they're
something.
Pretty good. It's that, going it'll be to be a classic.
It'll be one for the ages. Absolutely. And there's a lot on the line here, actually, because this will be up for grabs. The eighth spot will be the final team to lock in at the World Cup. And hopefully this will be for the first time Fiji women make the World Cup. So we need our Fijian sisters in there for next year.
To join Samoa in there. All right, that's rugby league done. It's a huge weekend. Let's go to rugby union.
Yep, rugby union. It's starting to pick up a bit from, I guess, the last few weeks. It's been very quiet on the rugby union front. The Wallabies will be in Japan to kick off their spring tour. And it's great to see PNG prop Zane Nongor get his first start. We also see Lukan Salakai Lotto starting the second row. Rob Valentini's back. Hunter Paisami will get in the 12 jersey with Len Ikitau playing for Exeter Chiefs over in England. We also see Filippo Dangunu on the bench. So it'll be a big one over in Japan, and they've got a big spring tour ahead. But in other news, because that's all I have for, sorry, Shawnee, it's not as big as rugby league this week. We do have something a bit different. We have Milan Volavola coming on, and he's going to be talking about R360, his mission in the space of player management. I think it's going to be insightful, and this guy is going to do some amazing things in that space. So let's get to him now.
Jacob McQuire, we have a winner.
Yes, we do, Michael Child. The 2025 Pacific Break title goes to Mantis from Vanuatu with his track, Weatherman.
Yeah, don't try to play with the weatherman. I make it rain fire, call the fireman. All boy come around like a brother man. Me one, me no not a one.
Yes, yeah. We called Mantis to break the news, and here's how it went down.
Bro, we just wanted to say a huge congratulations, Mantis, because you are the winner of Pacific Break 2025.
Woo! Let's go! Weatherman!
Yes! You're not joking with me, right?
You know, no,
this
joking.
Is for real.
No, yeah, man.
Give me 100. Me no play, me no yeah, man.
Huge congratulations to Mantis. You're off to Womb Adelaide, my friend.
Mm-hmm. And thank you to everyone who entered this year's Pacific Break competition from right across the Pacific. And we look forward to next year. Mantis.
Hey, everyone. Alex Johnson here from the PNG Kumuls, the South Sydney Rabbitohs. You're here with Nation Footy.
I thought we'd change things up, like I said early in the show, just around, I guess, this week. And I thought a good mate of mine, Milan Volavola, who's probably one of the very few Pacific Island player agents in the game across rugby league and rugby union. I feel like I love his values are probably a little bit different, and it's his ability to connect with players on a level that we all know and will, like especially when it comes to Pacific Island culture. And he's here with us today. He's going to talk a little bit about R360, you know, why some of our players would want to go there, if it could be a benefit for our players across the Pacific, as well as some rule changes in Japan where a lot of Japanese high schools and universities give scholarships. But he joins us now. He looks after Siwa Wong, Mark Nawang Nitawase, and a host of other stars. Milan, Dola Bras, Bulovinaka.
Bulovinaka, Wachi, how are we?
I am very well. Thank you for jumping on, man. I know you don't like to be front and center and have a bit of attention on you, but I thought it'd be a good time to chat a little bit about yourself and how you got into being a player agent.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for the opportunity. Matt, at a very young age, obviously, I've been heavily invested in the game. I'm fortunate enough to obviously have a brother that's playing professionally currently to this day, Benny Volavola. And I guess similar to you, Wykes, you've grown around a lot of quality players that I consider family and family friends, including the likes of boys you know, BPA, Falau Fanga'a, Alan Alatoa, and obviously Lou Khan, and things grew sporadically from there. At the same time, whilst I was managing these players, I was obviously studying to be an accountant. And I thought this is a unique opportunity to streamline both simultaneously. So whilst I was at uni finishing the accounting and finance degree, I became a chartered accountant and decided to connect both businesses up together and give a end-to-end approach with a sports management side, but also providing the financial side as well. And obviously, you know, growing up around the scene, word of mouth travels very fast, and I've been, you know, blessed to be connected with great players, some of the players like you just said. So yeah, it's been a great journey so far.
When you bring yourself into the game, and we think that Pacifica players are so heavily based on family and community, what is it that you bring to players as a manager as they navigate through all of the politics and all of these strains and heaviness that you get when you go through elite sport? What do you bring to that space from that point of view?
Yeah, I think obviously being Pacific Islander myself, we're straight away, we're cut from the same cloth. So our communication is different. You know, and the beauty about obviously being from the same culture is we have shared values, whether that's around faith, whether that's around, you know, family, and the dynamics, you know, that presents as well. So I'm able to relate, with the struggle, with the ups and downs, and communicate on a certain level where I know how they feel because I've been there before in that certain position. And obviously, you know, that helps, you know, when you're trying to build trust with a player, if you can understand where they're coming from, not just in their current situation, but obviously how they grew up, where they were raised, you know, it really helps. Like from a, obviously I'm in a very fortunate position where I'm trying to navigate and direct their future and their playing career. And that's a position I don't take lightly. So coming from the same culture is everything.
Yeah, and I can agree with you there. That's something as in my elite career, when I have gone through a number of managers, and some of them have been long-term and some of them have been really short-lived. And it's because I was searching for someone who could really understand how I wanted to navigate my journey, not just about the endorsements or the money that you can get, but how, because of my values. So that's huge.
Yeah, man, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to get Milan on, because I feel like having the same experiences, you go through, you know, different types of managers out there, and you do want to have a relationship, because you are picked up at a young age and you go through some of your biggest ups and your biggest lows in your life when you're trying to navigate this space, and you want someone in your corner that sort of really understands who you are as a person to help you through those stages. And Milan, when I think of some of the some of the stereotypes when it comes to player management, what sets you apart? Like, and what's your mission in this space that gets rid of some of those stereotypes in player management?
I think when I got into the game, I was, again, like, fortunate enough to grow around players that I've mentioned that are under my umbrella, like obviously my brother and Alan Alatoa, all these boys. So when I got into the sports management game, I wanted to provide a voice for obviously people from all walks of life, more particularly Polynesian athletes. But I wanted to provide a point of difference where I'm there when the lights turn off. Right. So like, and that brings obviously, it helps me with my financial background and the strategies I put in place for my players, because at the end of the day, you both know better than I do, you know, the game's short lived at times. So when the lights turn off and the money, you know, becomes less, who's around you? And I try and pride myself on being able to set up a strategy that when they exit the game, they exit in a really better off place than how they started, and they secure their financial foundation for themselves and their family. And that's something I really, really find important, because when they come to me as, you know, I guess 15, 16, 17 year old. But then when they leave, they're married, two kids, beautiful wife. And you, I really hope that they started off, you know, that they finished off way better than they started off. And, you know, I take a lot of pride in that. And particularly around, obviously, our Polynesian athletes, you know, I understand the components of obviously looking after their current family at such a young age, whether that's mom and dad. And then when they start their own family, they got to start looking after their own family plus mom and dad. And again, that's something I resonate with. So my mission in this space is just to provide a true and fair representation, I guess, an end-to-end approach for our people, so that they leave the game in a better place.
Milan, just again, agreeing with what you're bringing to the table here, I couldn't agree more. I think that's absolutely key, is that our cultures, we do things in a way that's not really understood by mainstream, or where I sit here in Australia, it's not really understood by how the world or the financial world works here. So for you to kind of allow that balance and navigate how to meet in the middle and keep both sides, parties, families, everything happy, and still be able to finish up your career in a good place for everyone is so important.
I haven't heard it like that before from someone, but it makes sense when you got to look after your family first in that sense, and then look after the other family when you eventually do have one. So that is a tough ask, and it's a lot of pressure on a player to be able to do that throughout their career. And one of the ways some of the players do that is heading over to Japan. Like, we won't mince our words here. Sometimes it's a really good financial gain going over to Japan, but they come from the islands really young. Can you explain what the eligibility rules now, or what it is to be able to get over from, say, Tonga and get into the high schools and uni, and how it was and what the actual rules are now, and how it's sort of made things a little bit more challenging for players to get off the island to get into Japan?
Yeah, Japan's a very interesting market. So usually how it works, you know, like the schools, you know, like Atelier and Toloa, Tupou and Tonga College, Maris Brothers High School, which is a school in Fiji, recruits and scouts, they go to the islands to identify young Polynesian players to come over to Japan to, at times, come over at the age of 15 to go to a Oitotomia High School or a Japan Aviation High School, or Amori Yamada High School, or they go to a Teikyo University or a Kyosan University, right? And the reason why these players go over there is again, it's a unique experience and it's a unique opportunity. And a lot of these families and players, the players that are going across there, they come from big families, mate. You know, there's eight in a household. So at a young age, these young Polynesian athletes know the meaning of providing for family at a very young age. So if they're like, all right, sweet, I'm going to go to Japan, that's one less mouth to feed. That's one less mouth to feed that mum and dad need to worry about. And that's also an opportunity for them to use their little bit of allowance from university to send back to the islands. And I got to give it to these boys. I have so much respect, you know, for these young boys, you know, that are 15, 16, or even going into university systems, because, mate, they sacrifice so much. They really do at such a young age, and they understand the importance of providing for their family at such a young age. Now, I guess the rule change that's coming into effect in 26-27 season is going to cause, obviously, a massive change in the market within Japan. So before I talk about that, I guess it's probably good to understand what the current status quo is. So the reason why players go to university is to be localized, to play and be eligible for Japan. And usually what that means is they're able to command, I guess, when they get into League One, more money, essentially, because...
And localized by staying there for X amount of years.
Yeah, correct, correct. So preceding 48 months, right, in League One, you're classified as Category A. So there's three categories in Japan, as you know, Waxi: Category A, Category B, Category C. Category A is a localized player. It's the young boy coming from Toloa, goes to Kyosan, studies, finishes his degree, and then he signs at a respective League One side. So they're local. they can play for Japan once they finish their first year of League One. And then Category B is an uncapped player that goes up there. Category C is obviously a bona fide category international player like a Richie Mo'unga. Now, the current status quo is from Category B and Category C, you can only have 10 registered players in each squad. Category C, you can only have 3 registered players. And then Category A, it's a free hit, right? So you're a local player. You're classified as Japanese. Now, what's happened in 2026-2027 season is Category A, B, and C, the rule changes and classifications have shifted now. Now it's Category A1, Category A2, and I'll explain all this, and Category B and C, which remains the same definition. Category A1 are for players that have a Japanese grandparent or Japanese parent or are born in Japan. Or if you play 30 games for Japan, you're Category A1. Category A2 is for players that they could have played for Japan already but have less than 30 caps. But Category A2 is now the exact same pretty much as Category B. So this makes it a lot more difficult for a Pacific Islander player that comes from the islands that has invested and sacrificed so much. You know, some of these boys, man, are coming in when they're 15. You know, they've been there for, 9 years, you know. And now they're classified as the same in the same way as the uncapped player coming out of the URC or Super Rugby or the Prem, and they got to compete against them. And a lot of these players have come through the university system, and you know, obviously from a professional standpoint, if you're signing a player that's played X amount of years at a very high level at Super, or you're signing a player straight out of university, well, then it just comes down to performance, right? Like they're getting measured the same, whereas before, because this player was localized, they have an advantage and opportunity to represent their country that they're in. And I guess from the foreigner player standpoint that manages a lot of Category A2 players now, some of my players have Japanese wives, hold Japanese passports, but they're not classified
still
as Japanese.
Still not classified on that.
Still not classified. So now it begs the question, right? Like, well, you know, you got to remember when you get a Japanese passport, you forego your current passport. So in their mind, mate, they're Japanese. Their kids are half Japanese, but they can't play in the sport that they love. And it's a very difficult situation, Waxy. And it's something that, you know, obviously you got to roll the punches in this industry, but you know, it just comes down to, I guess, performance, right? Like you just got to be able to back yourself and play really, really well to secure a contract. And look, some of these boys still do, right? One of the players that I look after, he's heading to a League One side as well. And the club was direct and honest and said that it was either him or a bloke from Super Rugby. And you just got to be good enough, right?
Man, that's a massive shift, because we know off the back of uni, if you're not good enough, if you come out of that, you're getting sent back to the islands, you know, like if you got nowhere else to go. And we know what that means as well when there's that feeling of shame, guilt, if you haven't, if you've left the nest to be able to go and provide for your family and you have to come back, that feeling hurts. So it's going to be interesting how this unfolds in the future. And hopefully, you know, being Japan as well, they always change the rules at some point and it can go back to how it was back when it was before, but we'll see. But we have to shift over to, before we wrap things up, to R360. Obviously, that's been a big talking point across, you know, rugby league and rugby union with all the different sort of fear tactics coming around if you do sign with R360. But I just want to say, is there a benefit for our Pacific Island players to be able to go play in a competition if it does get up and going, earn some good money, still be eligible to play test footy for Tonga, Samoa, Fiji?
100%. I think obviously there's a bit of work going on in the background around a unified approach from all the unions trying to, I guess, exclude players that sign with R360 and from international test duties. But we've got to look and remember, like, the opportunity this provides for our people. Like, I can only speak Fiji. In Fiji alone, right, remittances from sporting players annually is $60 million a year.
Sending
money back to Fiji annually. There was a study done in 2023 that $60 million was coming into the Fiji to the country of Fiji from remittances from sporting athletes. Now, I see it firsthand. The Fijian players, right, and also the Tongan players, man, they're using their money and they're getting wiser and wiser. Man, they're going back, they're buying land, they're starting farms. They're building blocks of units. I've got a player who's building commercial property just outside of your favorite spot, Denara, in Nandi. So if there's an opportunity to make more money and stimulate, obviously, the country that they love, but also provide for their family post-footy like we want them to do, mate, they got to do it. Like, this is the nature of the beast. And I think that any opportunity that's gonna create, you know, more income for them and their families, they got to have a look at it. Obviously, it needs to stack up, and they need to make sure they do their due diligence. But I think with that amount of remittances coming into the country, like, it's hugely important to consider these opportunities and to continue to, you know, build their life after footy with the income they earn.
Will they take a 38-year-old that hasn't played in 5 years, probably a little bit underdone, but still could go for, mate, even mate, let, a quarter of
know.
It?
Let me know. I don't want the 10-year ban, so you have to
Shawnee,
figure it
are
out.
You good to go?
Two 38-year-olds. Yeah, okay. Let's go.
We're good to go. Nah, perfect. And the likelihood of it getting up and going before we finish up, is it? What's the percentage here of R360 in your eyes?
Mate, I'm bullish on it. I think it will get up. I think it will stack up, but yeah, watch this space.
Watch this space. Mark's going there with the 10-year ban coming back. No, I'm joking. Milan, honestly, that was very insightful. Really appreciate the chat. Please represent our people as much as you can in a space where we don't see many of our faces in there. Much love and all the best.
Thanks, brother. Ufatu.
Ula vanaka, it's Mark, hermano, tukatoko na wangani tuase from the Sydney Roosters, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Let's get her.
Knockout tipping time.
Yes, it's time to play knockout tipping with someone probably better than my mates, which is good. I'm excited for this week's knockout tipping, which is our tipping competition. Loser buys the winner a jersey of their choice. There's only 3 Nisian Footy Fridays left, so the winner will be decided in the next few weeks, and I am in front. This time last
Sorry,
year, Shawnee.
In advance, maybe.
I was behind by about 40. So to see my name 45 to 41, thank you for the last few weeks. But anyway, let's get into it. Big games ahead. We're going to start with the men's Kumuls versus Cook Islands.
Yep.
So, I want to be generous to T's team here. I want to give them a 30.5 head start.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, agree. Okay. Let's go that.
And are you going to, because you're representing T, you probably should choose the Cook Islands or?
I'm going to choose Cook Islands. Yeah. I'm back in T.
You're back in T here. 30.5 is a big scoreline, so hopefully the Kumuls can chase that down.
Sorry, T. I'm regretting this already. I don't know how to back you correctly.
Yes, there we go.
Back in the Cook Islands or back in the boys.
Exactly. And we'll go to the men's one, Tonga versus Samoa. This one's straight head-to-head, and I believe I know what you're going to do here.
Yeah, Samoa head-to-head.
Okay. Can you just give me a quick, what do you reckon the score is though? Close one or a big one?
Close one and low one.
Close and low, yeah. That's a very good prediction. I like that. I'll definitely be going for Tonga in this one by 50. Why are you looking at me like that?
By 50?
No, it will be what you said. Oh, we'll go to the women's now. Cook Islands versus the Tongan women's team. Head to head?
Yeah, head to head. Cook Islands.
You going Cook Islands?
Yeah.
Mate, I'm going to win this easy. Yeah, you have to. Yeah, at least you got something to fall back on.
I don't know how T would say Tonga, sit here and say Tonga. But
mate, he is competitive. He would throw anyone under the bus. So that's. But you do you. You do you. I think you play the safe bet there and choose Cook Islands. And this one, the Jullaroos versus Fetu. As much as I love how Fetu played last week, I just see the strength of the Jullaroos probably just being playing in those big games. This one's a different beast and I'd like to give Fetu probably a 20.5 head start in this one.
Yeah, well, I was going to go head to head, so I'll take
that. That's how confident you were.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. I shouldn't have gone that high then. Shouldn't have gone that high. But okay, I'll go Jewelaroos for that one. Fets with a 20.5 head start. But that's us done for Nijan Footy Fridays. Shawnee, high five.
Thank you.
Fantastic job. You're amazing. And we're going to have you back on Monday because T is still away. So make sure you tell your Pacifica mates about Monday and Friday shows and subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Nijan Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.